friendly listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Delighted indeed to invite, first of all, a friend with Mayo roots, like some more of us, but he is also the Chief Executive Officer Worldwide of Tourism Ireland, Niall Gibbons. You're very welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Adrian. Great to be back in New York again, and great to be on the show.
You know, to get not only the front page of the cover of National Geographic, but a 10-page spread just came out this week, actually. That's amazing. It's terrific.
I just saw that this morning, and I was delighted. I got an update from the team on the great work they're doing here in the United States. But to be presented with National Geographic Traveller, the February edition, with Ireland on the front cover, a lovely picture, Return to Ireland, A Journey Home, and a 10-page spread, mainly focusing on County Kerry, if someone went back to find their roots, and stunning imagery, a great story, everything that's good about Ireland, and great to see, and a great tonic, and delighted to get such a good positive update from the team this morning here in New York about all the work that they're doing. And what's even more gratifying is the great results that they've been achieving.
Absolutely. And hats off to Alison Metcalf, who's doing an amazing job for North America.
She's done an incredible job. And it was gratifying this morning when I saw the results from the Central Statistics Office for the full year for 2014, which showed that not only had tourism to Ireland increased by 9% last year, which is an excellent performance, but tourism from the United States of America increased by 13% to a record number in excess of 1.1 million visitors. And you and I have sat many times in the past talking about when we might get to 1 million.
Yes.
But this year we're probably looking at strong growth again with additional air access capacity coming into this market.
Another amazing figure from North America is the percentage, the number of people who actually, in flying to Europe, choose Ireland as not only as a, sometimes as a final destination, but you're catching it every which way.
It's amazing the impact that tourism is having from the United States into Ireland. It's our second biggest market, and the big numbers are fantastic, but it's actually when you look at our competitors that they're even more impressive.
Yeah.
If you think about who Ireland is competing with for tourists at the moment, you have countries like Italy, France, Germany, countries with populations of 50, 60 million people, the UK, who also have a very good tourism offering, it has to be said. But out of all American travellers to Europe last year, Ireland captured approximately 10%. So almost one in every 10 travellers to Europe was coming to Ireland, which is a remarkable feat for a country or an island with a population of about 6.5 million people.
You know, the rollout of the Wild Atlantic Way was something that hadn't been tried. First of all, explain it to us and what the idea and the notion was, rolling that out.
Well, the Wild Atlantic Way is, as some people have described it, a journey along our nation's soul. It's 1,500 miles of fantastic, spectacular coastal driving route all the way from County Donegal right around to County Cork. And the idea behind it was that, you know, tourism, particularly from the United States, is very important to the rural economy in Ireland. I mean, a lot of people obviously fly to Dublin, but people fly to Shannon, but they also travel the West Coast quite a lot. And I think what our colleagues in Folger Ireland, who look after the product back at home, were very keen to try and do was to get a project of scale and magnitude that could stand out in the international marketplace. And I think the Wild Atlantic Way has done that. And we take for granted that we lived in an island by the sea, but a lot of people don't, and they never get a chance to have a holiday near a coast. And this is a great opportunity to be right beside the Atlantic, next stop the United States, and get a spectacular journey along our nation's soul, as I said, and experience the best of Ireland.
But the West Atlantic Way, or the Wild Atlantic Way, is also a great success story in not only in North American visitors, but a great number of visitors from Britain, from Europe, from far-flung places. And again, you know, it was, it has been there, but I think that if we if we must, and I must go back to the gathering in 2013 where, you know, a great massive number of people were being introduced to a welcome home and a gathering in Ireland. What that did for, you know, Ireland generally, for the 32 counties, was simply amazing. So it was, you know, we could say a high time to introduce something to, or to highlight that coastal route in the west of Ireland.
Absolutely amazing. The reaction to the Wild Atlantic Way in other markets has been phenomenal. The one that stands out for me in my mind is probably Germany. You know, the Germans have a very strong affinity for Ireland too. It's one of the largest outbound travel markets in the world, and about 0.5% of Germans come to Ireland every year. And we're seeing that increase steadily, and last year we saw a 17% increase in the number of Germans coming to Ireland. And the Wild Atlantic Way has simply bowled them over, because again, the vast majority of Germans will never see a coast. They are very much into the idea of Ireland being the green island. They know it's a, sort of an environmentally friendly one, and that appeals to them. So that's one market where it's really stood out for us. Yeah. And going back to the gathering, I mean, I think the gathering was something that galvanised a lot of Irish people in a time of economic difficulty, and it got them thinking about what we were good at, and tourism is one of those things. And, you know, things like banking and financial services, well, it had its heyday back in the noughties, and a lot of people got employed in that sector. It fell off quite a bit, but we never lost our capacity to deliver in tourism, and that's what the gathering really captured, the public imagination, both at home and abroad.
I suppose some of us would have been surprised that the President of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins, would take to the four corners of the world to promote Ireland, primarily in the tourism sector. China, you a delegation. You rounded up some heavy duty names there to go to China. What brought that about?
I'm not too sure whether I rounded them up or they rounded me up, but it was part of the Irish state visit to China in December. It was a great privilege and an honour to go, led by President Higgins, also the Minister of Finance, Michael Noonan, the Minister for Foreign Affairs, also travelled to Charlie Flanagan, and a very senior delegation of the heads of the IDA, Enterprise Ireland, Board BS, Science Foundation Ireland and Tourism Ireland. And it really was at the invitation, obviously, of the Chinese President, symbol of the improving relationships between the two countries. He has visited Ireland, by the way. He's been to the west of Ireland and
yes.
to Croke Park. Very
he
successful.
He didn't
visit.
Want to go home.
I don't think he did. And
he was fond of it. Right
exactly. Away. And I believe that one of the pictures that's on his desk, in addition to his family, is the picture that he had in Croke Park. So that says something about the impact that Ireland had. And I think what himself and the President certainly had in common when we had the state banquet were the cultural connections between Ireland and China. And while they're a much bigger country in terms of population, we share a similar history, so to speak, in terms of the colonial past that we might have had. And they were sort of things that yeah. sort of people talked about. From a tourism perspective, it's a small market at the moment. About 35,000 people come from China to Ireland every year. But it's growing quite rapidly, and we don't have any air access connections just yet, but they are being looked at with the Dublin Airport Authority and ourselves. And the visa regime is improving as well. And obviously that had been complicated up to now, but it's improved, and I think we'll see a greater flow. Probably 50,000 Chinese travelling to Ireland by 2017.
Let me ask you, Niall Gibbons, about the launch of Tourism Ireland for 2015. We might say that, preface this by saying that we thought we were going to have the Minister for Tourism and what else is in his portfolio?
Transport and sport.
We thought we might have him here, but we have we had the blizzard that wasn't, which kind of threw things a bit out of kilter. But when you look at the success of the last 2 years, now you're heading into yet what looks like another banner year. What is the launch, and what do you have in mind?
Well, I mean, last year was an excellent year for tourism to Ireland. Every single market is performing at record levels, with the exception of Britain, although that has grown by about 20% in the last 3 years. So that's well on the way. Top 3 million visitors last year, which is terrific. we see 2015 as being the best ever year for Irish tourism as a whole, the previous peak being 2007. And we're hoping to see visitor numbers grow in 2015 by 6%, and we're hoping to see spend grow by 7%. And if we see those targets being reached, it means to the island of Ireland as a whole, we'll see 9.1 million people visiting, spending almost $5 billion.
That's a phenomenal figure when you think of it.
Yeah, they're big numbers, and I mean, I think what's more significant is that they support over 200,000 jobs across the whole island. And it's just really good to have seen consistent growth over the last number of years. This particular market, the United States, I mean, we've seen grown from maybe 800,000 visitors, you know, up to almost 1.2 million over the last number of years. It's fantastic. And to see some of the additional access breakthroughs, for example, Aer Lingus will be going daily from San Francisco this year on the route that was launched five times a week last year. We've got Aer Lingus launching a new service from Washington, D.C., United launching a new service from Chicago, and we also have Aer Lingus putting a daytime flight, a third plane, into New York, so you'll now be able to fly and arrive into Dublin at night time, and for business people, you'll be able to travel a bit earlier from Dublin and arrive out here a bit earlier in the morning too, so I think it'll satisfy a lot of customers.
Obviously, you know, something new always garners not only the attention, but the naysayers didn't lose much time this week in the concern of a possible, if not probable, takeover of Aer Lingus and how that will affect Ireland and in particular the United States and travel to Ireland.
Yeah, and again, I was asked that this morning in an interview with RTE, and our Minister, Pascal Donoghue, briefed the Irish government yesterday on the matter. They issued a statement last night. Tourism and connectivity is really important to Ireland, and there are a whole range of factors that the government will consider before they arrive at any decision. But there's a lot of discussions to be had, and we'll see where that goes.
Okay. But again, to quell the concerns, the Aer Lingus schedule as we know it and the new markets are very much intact.
Oh, look, Aer Lingus is making money. The routes that they've launched from the United States have been extremely successful. I see only further expansion in this market into the future. I think we're probably scratching the surface to some extent. We've done very well, but we're obviously very keen. We had our first sales mission into the southern states and Texas last year, which again is another untapped source of great business for Ireland in the future.
Whereas Tourism Ireland and whatever you have been doing is the focal point for, you know, for the recouping of, you know, a very rocky period during the collapse of the Celtic Tiger. Is there a measurable connection, say, between tourism and inward investment to Ireland and industrial development? Sometimes they're all kind of thrown out there on the table as if there are no connection whatsoever. But is there who helps what in what area?
Well, we all do work closely together. All the chief executives of the agencies, including the IDA, Enterprise Ireland, Science Foundation Ireland, Board BIA, and our various ministers sit on the Export Trade Council, which is chaired by the Taoiseach and reports into government on how Ireland performs overseas. And there's no question that the collegiality and collaboration that exists between the agencies is very good. We're obviously talking to different audiences. Our colleagues, for example, in the IDA are talking to people who are looking to inward invest into Ireland. Yeah. And we're looking for people to visit. But when you look at some of the more newer companies that have invested in Ireland, like Google, Facebook, I mean, that adds great cachet and status to Ireland as a destination.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people who get employed will have relatives over here. They've got connections in different parts of the United States. And what was interesting this week was a large company called Employment Conditions Abroad, ECA, which advises enormous amounts of companies around the world on where to locate executives. But Dublin as one of the best locations in the world in which to work and raise a family. And that's all very good for our business too, because I mean, that just adds to the allure of Ireland that gets us talked about in the international press. So I think we all go hand in hand. While we may talk to different audiences, we're all essentially selling the same proposition that Ireland is a great place to work, live, invest and study.
What about your global marketing plans for this year and indeed for next as well?
Well, we've set out our stall in relation to the targets. We're looking to grow numbers by 6% and spend by 7% in 2015, which will make it a very good year. Obviously, our biggest markets of the UK, the United States, France and Germany will continue to attract about 75% of our total business. There are other markets that are performing very well, like Spain, Italy, France, all had very good growth this year, finished off at record levels too. And we're also very keen, obviously, to work in those longer-haul markets like China and India. So it's, you know, about really keeping the foot to the pedal, making sure that we Ireland stays competitive. We offer very good value for money for people from this market, particularly with the way the euro and dollar exchange rate has gone. It's going to be excellent value. Similarly, for people coming with sterling in their pocket too, they'll get great value in Ireland this year. We've got new advertising in the marketplace this year too. We went out, we did some filming last summer, so we got some spectacular imagery of the likes of Paris Court around Dublin as well, and we also have a nice new Northern Ireland execution too, and we're looking forward to those doing the business for us in 2015.
Northern Ireland and the impact in Northern Ireland, and we've spoken many times over the years about Tourism Ireland being the first government agency to market the island of Ireland singularly. That has turned out to be, you know, a tremendous boon for the island.
Indeed, and it's great to see the positive developments that have been happening in Northern Ireland over the last number of years, which can only be good. And even if you go back 5 years or 4 years, I should say, the MTV Music Video Awards came to Northern Ireland. You had Titanic the year afterwards. You've got the Irish Open Golf happening this year. There's a very exciting development people may not be aware of called the Gobbins Cliff Path. Not Gibbons, by the way, Gobbins Cliff Path, which is going to be opening. And it's a recreation of a path that was built there in 1902. And that's something that's going to really complement things like the Wild Atlantic Way and the Causeway Coastal Route. And also Mount Stewart in County Down, spectacular gardens are going to reopen this year as well. And it's something that people should certainly have on their list of things to do if they're travelling to Ireland in 2015.
As we look at next year, 2016, apparently, and it's fairly obvious that the Irish government is very concerned and does want to get the message out, and this the centenary of 1916, to get out the story of Ireland and its evolution. Does that look like something that will be of help to tourism? And have you gotten that far yet in terms of figuring out how tourism to Ireland will be, will benefit from whatever celebrations there are with the Irish diaspora?
Certainly, there's going to be
commemoration.
I think you've got the word there correct, actually. I think it's commemoration rather than celebration, and certainly it's provoking a lot of debate at the moment at home. But certainly behind the scenes, there's quite a bit of dialogue going on with different government agencies now as to how the commemoration is going to be reflected. Discussions with various relatives, ministers have been involved, and we got the launch of the GPO of the programme. And there's a lot of more skin being put on the bones of that, which is really good. I think it'll be very important in the narrative and story that it tells about Ireland, not just about what happened 100 years ago, but you know what's happening today and what's potentially going to be happening in 100 years' time. So that's all good. From a diaspora perspective, I've no doubt that there will be groups that will be interested in coming home for it. So niche opportunities in relation to the tourism side of things. But from our perspective, we'll obviously work with the stakeholders and keep an eye, and we'll be happy to promote any programs that are there on our website, etc.
Obviously, when you have the tremendous influx, and we're inclined to be parochial in North America and saying, that we definitely have a tremendous impact in terms of tourism to Ireland. But what other areas other than obviously Britain is up there? Britain is number one in terms of tourism.
Britain is the biggest market, yeah. We'll have between Ireland, North and South, in excess of 4 million visitors from Britain in 2014. From the United States, it'll be about 1.2. I think what's important to remember from this market, though, is that whereas the British people come over, they spend an average of 4.5 days on their trip to Ireland. It's a short break market, largely. The Americans will spend an average 8.5 days. They'll tend to stay in paid service accommodation. They're more likely to hire cars, and their spend is bigger per head, too. So from a revenue perspective, you know, North America is a very important market to us.
The impact of the dollar and the euro, the story actually gets better. I'm not too sure that it gets better for those of us in North America who are heading for Ireland. It really is.
There's no question about it. I mean, I think when I would have been here a few years ago with you, it was about 155.
Yes.
And as of today, I think it's at 115, 116. So I think people are going to get exceptional value, and it bodes well, probably not just this year, but I mean, I'm not a currency speculator, and please don't take my advice, but I can see this probably going for, you know, certainly maybe perhaps into next year, but I mean, who knows? But certainly 2015 is the year to go. If you're looking for value, you're going to get it this year.
Niall Gibbons, I want to again welcome you, and again say that we're excited and we're thrilled that that the numbers keep increasing, and we have to acknowledge, you know, that obviously a great number of people going to Ireland become your ambassadors around the world, but in particular, in the United States. It's as good as you're going to get if you have somebody coming back that's really thrilled and very excited. Many going for the first time, and of course many who are saying things are getting better in Ireland, and the satisfaction level is way up there.
It's amazing. I mean, the satisfaction levels are extremely high. Ireland consistently exceeding people's expectations, which is great. And there's good repeat business from this marketplace too. And I mean, people are great ambassadors. I mean, the reaction that we get is just phenomenal every single time. And we're really grateful for the level of business that we get from this market. I think there's obviously natural bonds of kinship between Ireland and the United States. And while that ancestral market may be a smaller portion of the overall pie, I think what's really encouraging is to see people coming now that never had a connection with Ireland before. And it's a dream destination, and they keep on talking so highly about it. It's wonderful.
Well, I can't wish you any more luck than you're already having, and we definitely wouldn't want to jinx it, but it's great. It's terrific for Ireland. It's great to see realistically that the economy in Ireland is on the upturn, and things are settling somewhat. I think people are beginning to actually believe that Ireland is coming back to where it was, and how long may that be, you know, on the move.
Indeed, I mean, there were some very interesting figures I was looking at earlier today. 1.1 million more people came to Ireland in 2014 than 2012. That's a significant number. And the impact on employment is significant too. That means that there's an additional 36,000 people now employed in tourism and hospitality alone in Ireland compared to this time 2.5 years ago. So that's very significant. And obviously that finds its way into the coffers of the revenue, and that helps to, you know, increase the government spend in various areas. So, we've seen economic growth this year, which is good, and tourism has played a part in that. And it's nice to hear even the retail sector say that they've seen their coffers swelled as well by the increased numbers of tourists. So long may it continue.
And it's also the fact that it is more palatable, and like the distribution throughout the island is good. We're not just talking about, you know, the cities and the traditional tourist places taking the light away from it. Ireland has a lot to offer, and it's been rolled out.
Indeed, I mean, the feedback that we have got from everywhere across the whole island of Ireland has been very positive in 2014. That's really encouraging because, you know, up until now, recovery had been good, but it had been patchy as well, and it's great to see everyone getting a bigger slice of the pie.
Like to, friends, just remind you, if you go to your newsstand, you'll find the National Geographic Traveller, Return to Ireland, Journey Home, and a great 10-page spread. And you don't have to be from Kerry to enjoy it. Niall Gibbons, again, thank you for being with us. Website, as friends, you should know by now, ireland.com. Tourism Ireland, ireland.com. You're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.